May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is from Jeremiah 31, one of the passages in the Old Testament that ends up speaking about the new covenant. It says, speaking prophetically into the future. It says, verse 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him, and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from the hand of him who is stronger than he." That is the message of the gospel. That's the whole point of what Jesus did at the cross, is to redeem us from him who is stronger than us. "And they shall come and shout for joy in the height of Zion." Now, I love this scripture. It says, "And they shall be radiant over the goodness and the good things of the Lord." The word is translated in the New American Standard as "the bounty of the Lord." "Over the grain, the new wine, the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. And their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then the virgin shall rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them and give them joy for their sorrow. And I will fill the soul of the priest with abundance. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord." Now this is speaking about the age of the Messiah, when the Messiah would come. It sounds a lot like revival. And the truth is that revival came when Jesus, as a result of his finished work. We've been in a state of revival. We've been positioned for revival for 2,000 years. The church doesn't always manifest that which has already been provided for us. But we're not crying out for something to happen. We're crying out for something to manifest. It's already happened. But I love what he says here when he says, "And they shall be radiant over the bounty of the Lord." There's a real famous theologian. He died a few years ago, written a lot of volumes of books. Really brilliant, brilliant man. But he was also a pastor for seasons in his life. And all of his theology about the cross and about the incarnation of Christ, the life and the death, and crucifixion, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, all of it flowed out of his study from a question that was asked him when he was a pastor of a church. And there was a man in his church who was concerned. He had a fear of God because it wasn't a fear out of awe. It was a fear out of his understanding that God was basically angry and that God was perfect. And therefore, he was angry at imperfect people. And so his understanding that God was an angry God. And he asked this question. He read the New Testament. He read the Gospels. And then he asked this pastor who became this great theologian a question. He said, "Is Jesus really like God?" No, the question was, I'm sorry, I got it backwards. Is God really like Jesus? Because his understanding in his own heart and mind of what God was like and then what he saw Christ was like were like two different things. And so he asked the question, is God really like Jesus? And the truth is, yes. And the other thing about Jesus, you have to look at the life of Jesus and the acts of Jesus and then the finished work of Christ. Only from the cross can you interpret anything. Can you even understand anything about the Old Testament? You know, when it says in Genesis that after the fall, when the Lord said, speaking of the serpent and the seed of the woman, he says, "You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head." Well, Jewish people didn't really have an understanding of what that meant at all. But at the cross, then you could understand what that meant. And in the bruising of the heel of Christ, evil was destroyed. The power of evil over humanity was destroyed. And so everything, all of history has to be understood from the apex of the cross. You have to remember, God is timeless. He's the ever-present now. He lives in an ever-present is. And so everything is understood from the life of Christ that's culminated in the saving act of God in Christ at the cross. You look back and you see everything. And you can only understand history. You can only interpret the future in light of what Jesus accomplished. And in light of what Jesus revealed about the true nature of God. That John chapter 1, verse 18 passage, "No man has seen God at any time, but Jesus has revealed him." We talked about that Sunday evening. And this is what he says. He says, "In that day, the day that we live in, the people of God will be radiant over the bounty of the Lord." And that word bounty is a Hebrew word that means goodness. But goodness isn't a stagnant word. It would be like if I were to say, well, you know, Bill is a good man because I've just watched him and he just seems to be a good man. He's a kind person. But the word goodness means a lot more than that. Heidi Baker says that love looks like something. Well, so does goodness. And the Hebrew word doesn't just mean goodness, but it means good things that flow out of goodness. And so goodness should look like something in its behavior and action towards you. So the conclusion is that God is good, not just because we think he's a really nice guy, because he does good things for his people. His actions are good. And we see that in the person of Christ. If you want to know what God's like, look at the life of Jesus. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed by the devil. That's what goodness looks like. Delivering people, good news to the afflicted, healing the brokenhearted, casting out demons, healing the sick. That's what goodness looks like. That's what God looks like. The good things that God does that flows out of the goodness of his heart towards us. I read this verse, I think, last week. This is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "And after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact, precise representation of his nature." He said, you want to know, did God speak to the prophets of old? Yes. But you want to know the clearest description of God in these last days? He has spoken to us in his Son, Jesus. When we talk about Christ not changing, often when we want to compel people to believe that signs and wonders are still real today, we'll talk about the fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So true. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever because he was the exact representation of God, and God's not changed. God's the same God. So when we see Christ doing the things that he did in the Gospels, it wasn't to prove he was a Messiah. It was to prove the true nature of God. It was to give an exact representation of the nature of God. It was so that his people of God could be radiant because of God's goodness and the good things that God does as a result of his goodness. And so I'm increasingly come to expect that if Jesus, who came to reveal the truth about God, is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we should absolutely expect the same things. Because that really is who God is. It wasn't just a glimpse of God being in a good mood for 3.5 years, as opposed to being in a bad mood for thousands of years before that. The 3.5 years that Jesus lived on the earth, culminated by the love of God manifest on the cross, is the clearest picture that we have of who God, the exact representation of the true nature of the goodness of God. And therefore, I think, I don't want to use the word offense, I think it's one of the great heartbreakers to God that he did all that he did, born, came to earth, born of a virgin, and went through all that he went through, lived on the earth as man, and then was crucified. God took all the evil on himself and was crucified, that we might be set free from that. That he went to all that, and we still don't really know whether God wants to do to heal or to set free or to make whole. What more does he have to do? What else could he possibly do? When Jesus said it's perfect, it's finished, he meant that. We can't do anything more to prove who we are and how you could expect us to behave in response to you. Because only when we catch a real glimpse of the goodness of God will we really be radiant. The radiance of the people of God are a people who understand how good he is and live in the light of that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.